And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own heads and see where it takes us. So it's been quite a week, a lot of exciting things and a lot of crazy things going on, but should start off by giving a special thank you to Christopher Battles for helping me out last week in my rush out the door. Forgot to post the show early in the day, as I do, to let everybody know everything was going on, and he helped me out, giving me the platform that I could retweet the tweet, boost the toot. But I was in such a hurry last week, getting out the door, because I had to go pick up a rental car. I finally got to go drop off the sedan, my luxury cruiser, my Kelly Blue Book turd, to the body shop. And lo and behold, the offender's insurance gets to loan me a car, pay for car loaner insurance. And lucky for me, I get to drive a hybrid. And therefore, that gives me a point of privilege. I am now better than anybody that drives a regular gas-guzzling car, even if it is one of those little three-cylinder Honda Insights. I was given the option for an SUV, but I turned that down. I figure if I want an SUV, I can finish reassembling the engine of my SUV that's sitting in the driveway in pieces currently, as well as the fact that I don't feel like paying SUV prices at the gas pump. The commuter gets, that is now in the shop, gets the best gas mileage out of all my vehicles. And I'm not allowed to, it's not that it's a problem, but I'm not allowed to smoke in any of the rental cars, nor am I allowed to have the Honorable Princess Pooch ride along. So what's the point in having an SUV if it's just me? So I succumbed. I said, okay, give me the hybrid. Figure it'll be like one of those magazine reviews. I get my little car magazine, read what's going on. They're pushing the hybrids and the electric vehicles pretty hard. It's the wave of the future. It's how we're going to be. We're going to improve life everywhere with electric vehicles. And I will say, in terms of a basic commuter, just something to get you from point A to point B, pretty decent car. I am driving a Hyundai Ioniq. It's a $30,000 MSRP, or thereabouts, $27,000. Chunk of change. Hybrid, which means it has battery power and a gasoline engine to recharge the battery and also send power to the wheels when the battery's low enough. When it switches between battery power and gasoline power, there is a noticeable point, but it's not huge. But I'm also not racing it. There's been a handful of times that I have had to put the hammer down, put the pedal to the metal, and the car gets up and goes. I am thoroughly impressed by that. Getting on the freeways rather easy, but it's kind of hard to override my habits of just be gentle on the engine. Not all the cars are race cars, but at the same time, this isn't my car. I don't have to do maintenance on it. I do have to say there is a sense of appreciation of just going outside, starting the car, and driving. No warm-up period required for engine maintenance. But then that little engine maintenance that want to make sure that everything is properly taken care of, everything is not abused, kind of goes on the fritz when I start driving, because the car starts off in electric mode, and then it'll kick into the engine mode, and then it'll turn off. I can't determine when the engine's going to start, when it's not going to start. It's got a little display on the dash that tells me when the engine is sending power to the wheels, or it's sending power to the front wheels and the battery, or if the battery is sending power to the wheels, or if the wheels are recharging the battery. It's kind of a funky little system like that. But it makes sense. It works. It does its job. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. It's a commuter. I'm sure the trunk space and the foot space for everybody else in the car is nice and ample. I will give it some credit. Finally had to put some gasoline in it. my minimal amount of driving, but it's getting low enough. And you fill up this 12-gallon gas tank with good old regular gasoline. And the estimated trip meter is over 600 miles on a single tank. Well, that beats out my little V6 engine that I got. I think I get maybe 200 miles, 220 miles on a 12-gallon tank on my car. It's okay. Still happy with my car. It's all paid off. Don't have to worry as much about scratches and dents that I put into it. But I don't like the visibility of this car. It's a updated Prius, according to certain people's statements. And I can definitely see it. I joke to some people that I know that this is the kind of car that if your parents drop you off in it to school, that's the kind of car that gets you beat up. But we're not allowed to bully people anymore, so don't have to worry about getting beat up about your parents driving this hideous-looking car. I guess it takes a special kind of woman to appreciate a vehicle such as this. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not picking up chicks in this one. It's not some 1972-and-a-half split-bumper Camaro with a 350 V8 and a four-barrel carb. No. Fuel economy. Efficiency. Again, it's comfortable. It's smooth. It's quiet. Even when the engine kicks on, it goes and makes its little vroom sound. But it's kind of hard to see out of the windows. I mean, the windows are there. It's kind of a bubble. I remember a cartoon show, vaguely, I didn't watch it much, called Doug back in the day. The thing that I remember most about that TV show is all of the cars didn't really have roofs. They were all just bubbles. The car had the body and then the roof was a bubble. Kind of like the Jetson spaceships or vehicles, whatever those are called. Just a glass dome. This one's not so much a glass dome. Still has its A, B, and C pillars. I guess this model that I'm driving is some sort of sports model because it's got a spoiler on the back that goes right across the back windshield. So most of my vision out of the rear view mirror is completely obscured. I look over my shoulder when changing lanes and I can't see past the C pillar because it's just a giant block of blockingness. I'm sure there's better design options out there, but we're going for fuel economy, efficiency, smoothness, making sure that we are saving the planet. It's got a little sport mode and it's got flappy paddles on the steering wheel. I guess I should give those a shot. See how easy it is to shift through all the gears, burn up some gasoline, make it look like a little race car. It's a hot hatch. Fun and exciting. But it does have juice. It does have get up and go. I'm not sure how it compares to the sedan, my normal sedan. When I hit the gas pedal, I don't like spending that money on gas. Not making money hand over fist, making just enough to get by. So frivolous spending like that is not bad, but it becomes so tempting with this car. Again, that 600-mile range on a single tank, 12 gallons is the size of that gas tank. Kind of mind-boggling. Especially when you think about the electric cars that everybody's going to be forced to have. No hybrids, all electric. And all you're going to get is a mere 200 miles. Might as well stick to my little V6, little fuel-efficient V6, to get the similar kind of distance, go at my own pace. But the future is coming. It's on its way. And again, for most people that are commuting, going to and from the office, something that's, I don't know if I want to say cheap and affordable, but it's definitely affordable. You're not going to increase your home electricity bill. Gas bill is going to be nominal and affordable. And for your regular price of your average car nowadays, if you're going to go buy a brand new one, this one's, I guess, kind of right on par. I think if I were going to take out an auto loan, though, I'd get a car that I can see the hood on, even if it is empty, even if there's nothing in there. There's something weird about the windshield ending and the road kind of being non-existent, but it's even though it's there. I will say the backup camera is nice on that thing, even though I back into all the into my parking stalls. It's nice, because again, you can't see out that back window. That spoiler is right in the middle of everything. The window's kind of pointed upwards, so who knows where that rear bumper is unless you feel it. One thing about backing this car up is, though, it's not very loud. It's not the decibel level of a dump truck backing up, but it definitely does make a beep, beep as you're backing up. But as it should, it's a quiet, very quiet car, and especially when you're going backwards, how fast are you going? 2-3 miles an hour. And if you're backing out of any parking stall or backing up, no one's going to hear the car rolling over anything. So got to make people aware. And there is some level of PTSD from back when I had a hybrid commercial vehicle that I had to drive for work, my previous life. Anything under 20 miles an hour, a lot less loud than your dump truck backing up, but almost as loud as your regular horn of a constant beeping. Again, a commercial truck, giant vehicle, when it's going slow enough, I'm not going to be able to hear it. People will seem to be oblivious to giant vehicles anyways. So every time that vehicle started up and started moving, you just let your foot off the brake. Beep, beep. And just, I let my foot off the brake to drive forward in this little car. And that horn sound, that beeping sound is in the back of my head. Maybe if I were to drive this car for a much longer period of time, I'd get over that, kind of ignore it. But again, this car isn't my style. Kind of like how clothes make the man, the car kind of gives you that personality. There's a certain type of vehicle you drive to the mountain bar, and there's a certain kind of vehicle you drive to the golf course. Or maybe you don't care which one you drive. But again, people make the assumptions on who you are, what you do in the vehicle that you drive. And sometimes it's all the point of economical. There's nothing wrong with driving a Honda Civic or something, again, more fuel efficient. You kind of blend in, you disappear with the rest of the plebs. No one's any the wiser. But sometimes you have to drive that late 70s, 1970s bright yellow Corvette Stingray. Maybe you get that racing orange Hemi Cuda. Kind of need one of those. Get that loud exhaust. Let everybody know what you're doing, what you're up to. Saw a Chevy Nova Super Sport drive by the other day. This exhaust and the V8. Oh, it sounded beautiful. Sounded like a real car. Definitely would not hear this rental driving by. But that Chevy Nova driving by probably spent about $6 in gas just kind of idling by, whereas this hybrid, about 25 cents to go the same distance, if that. But one thing that I guess we'll kind of add in, we'll loop in on what's going on here in Tennessee. They're passing a toll lane situation. It's not just toll lanes within the Transportation Modernization Act that has been passed, but car vehicle tabs will be introduced and included and going up, especially with this push for complete electric vehicles. One thing that I learned from the book Guns, Germs, and Steel is there's the underlying substructure to how roads are built and what they're built on gives way to what kind of vehicles are even allowed to transport on them, from foot to horseback to carriage to cars and trucks, semi-trucks. Here in Tennessee, the ground is all clay, kind of shifts and moves, especially as the rain goes. You watch the erosion happen in a general sense of the term on how it washes away. But to give the picture simply, it's kind of like going to the beach, you have the sand underneath your feet, and as you walk, you kind of sink as you walk along in the sand. It's kind of hard to build a road on top of that because the weight of the car would just kind of press through the asphalt or the concrete and separate because the sand doesn't have much give or much resilience. And so clay is kind of the similar. It's got a little bit more resistance than your regular old clay or sand. But it sure isn't granite and bedrock. It's not super sturdy. And so as the rain comes down and the weight of the vehicles presses on it, little kind of movements happen within the asphalt. It's kind of malleable. And the weight of electric vehicles, the weight of batteries, is monstrous in an all-electric vehicle, getting all of your power from those batteries. 4 to 5,000 pounds of a vehicle rolling down, pressing its weight onto that asphalt, putting some wear and tear on it. Semi-trucks and big rigs do the same deal. Cars do their damage with the weight of the vehicle on it, pressing down on the asphalt, wearing and tearing away. But for those of us that still drive petrol vehicles, part of what comes out of, part of what's included in the price per gallon of gasoline and diesel is money that goes towards road building and road repair. With an electric vehicle, fully electric vehicle at least, you're not paying any of that gas tax. None of your bonus money goes towards repairing the roads. All you're paying is for the electric bill. And good on you. But in this Transportation Modernization Act, because these electric vehicles do so much, not necessarily extra damage, but the extra wear and tear on the road, and don't chip in to support the effort to repair them, Tennessee has decided to increase the tabs on fully electric vehicles. In 2024, going to be $100 to renew the tabs on your vehicle. And in a couple more years, it's going to bump right up to about $400 a year to register to get new tabs for your electric vehicle. But you're not paying for gas, so shouldn't hit the pocketbook that much, should it? With the hybrid vehicles, like this Hyundai that I'm driving, it's going to go up to $100 and it's going to stay at $100 until they decide to increase the prices again. But at that point, I expect gasoline vehicles will be also included in those new price hikes. Gasoline vehicles to register here are significantly cheaper than the future electric vehicle charge to renew tabs. But again, with every gallon burned in the gas tank, goes towards supporting new and improved roads, or at least rebuilding them, repaving them, paying for jobs, paying for people to do work, keep them out of trouble. Hybrid vehicles will do their job of paying the gas tax and paying for their fuel efficiency to help pay for the road repairs. I do have to say I'm rather surprised at how light this vehicle is, a mere 3,000 pounds. My sedan is a little bit heavier, but again, I pay the gas tax for it. And this hybrid doesn't require being plugged in. The gasoline engine does the job of keeping that battery charged, keeping it going. And even though I haven't seen the battery become fully depleted, that gasoline engine at least has the ability, some magic ability, to send power to the front wheels and charge the battery at the same time. Then once the battery's charged enough and I'm not abusing the gas pedal, switches back to electric. I coast and cruise in silence, saving my pennies a little bit at a time. But I'd say you don't have to worry. I'm not going out spending money on a hybrid vehicle just yet. It's a rental. It's an experiment. It's a conversation starter. Something for me to at least let you have an idea of what's going on in the world of cars. And I'm Billy Bones. B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. You find me on Mastodon, at Billy Bones, at noagendasocial.com. Go there. Boost the toot, retweet the tweet. Maybe you help me out again like Mr. Christopher Battles. Making sure that the show is well announced, the voice is spread, and everybody can get those gears turning. But if you need longer forms of communication, or maybe you're looking for some show notes for that RSS feed, maybe a link to see some of the music that I've released, you go to the website, billybones.com. Remember, that's spelled with the number 3 instead of an E. There, again, show notes and all sorts of someone needs to learn how to... restart the song. Someone needs to learn how to produce his own podcast. But go to the website, show notes, links, all that fun stuff. And that has totally thrown me for a loop. This is a value for value podcast. If you found value out of this episode or the entire catalog, fantastic. I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else gets a talking point, maybe gets the gears turning, maybe figures out maybe it is worth it to buy a hybrid instead of just a silly electric vehicle. They're not silly. I'm being mean. But talking points, ideas. But if you feel that this value that I've offered, this value for value is how I operate, put this out, no paywalls, no sponsors, no advertisers, in hopes that you find value. And if you found that this show is worth a monetary amount of value, like today's executive producer, Lady Goodoverit, sending in her $10 monthly donation. Thank you very much, ma'am. Or if you're running a new podcast app and you want to send in some Satoshi's teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin, like our other executive producer, Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley, streaming Satoshis and then throwing in a 17,100 boostagram saying software engineers, software developers, programmers, dude named Ben. We all wear jeans and t-shirts to work. I did that when I went to the office, which I never do anymore. And if an employer had told me I had to wear a dress shirt and pants, I would laugh at them. And if they told me I had to wear a coat and tie, I would quit. Throws in a slick-looking emoji, and somewhere between a nanu-nanu and a live long and prosper. Thank you very much, Sir Sean and Lady Get Over It. And again, I'm still working on this production value. But I love you guys. I'll talk to you next week. And that's about it.